talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, there's no avoiding it now at this point. There's no avoiding it. I made the mistake of talking about Mayor Pete Buttigieg, the trans secretary. That's the shorthand for Secretary of Transportation. I made the mistake of bringing his name up. So for those of you who don't know, Tuesday is always the most unwoke hour of the week whenever John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, is with us. But even I gotta clutch some pearls when he uses his nickname for Mayor Pete. I'm like, oh, man, I might have to hit the mute button here. My goodness. What'd you call him? Mike Dukakis with a helmet on? Oh, you know, so Pete Buttigieg, he has to wear a hard hat wherever he goes to make it look like he's actually doing something as transportation secretary. I mean, failure after failure, disaster after disaster, all under this guy's watch. But here, put on a hard hat and look like you're serious.
Well, here he is. This is Montana specific, Aaron, because here he was. Was it yesterday? He's out in Missoula. There, Mayor Booty Fudge meeting with all these people out in Missoula talking about these different infrastructure projects that they're putting together. And who shows up at the big meeting but our pal Zoe Zephyr, right? And that group.
What's up, bro?
That group of Star Wars bar crew sitting together in a picture. You just look at that. You're like, okay, this is going to be this is a 1970s detective show. Okay, I can see it. Booty Fudge and Zoe.
Oh, man.
Did you hear the 70s music?
This
right
is
there?
Why I don't even want to talk about Buddha, whatever the Joker's here, because it's just like, okay, this is, it's gone downhill in the first two minutes of the show already. But you know what was funny about this story? I saw a KGVO report here. DOT chief makes first Montana trip. And what's funny is you read the story. Apparently, he was supposed to be here like several weeks ago, but we had a massive bridge collapse. They've been trying to schedule Mayor Pete's visit for months, for years probably. But because of all the failures and the collapses that happened under his tenure as DOT secretary, they just have trouble scheduling the trip, John. Crazy.
See, what I've said before on our podcast is these type of guys, like, say, a guy like Booty Fudge, he should not even be in that position. They make their DEI hires, their affirmative action hires, and they put them in a pod somewhere where they can't do any harm. But you get a guy like this who couldn't even run a city and is now running an entire country's transportation. I mean, you see what happens. It's incompetence after failure after failure.
And here's the deal. You can check the woke checkboxes and still get people that are competent.
Yep.
Rick Grenell was Trump's ambassador to Germany, and then I think he got elevated to another national security post. Rick Grenell is gay. But again, he was actually competent at his job. He actually, could do the job.
Yep.
These guys, they just put these woke checkboxes folks in there that are completely incompetent. They can't get the job done. All right, lots to talk about this morning here on Montana Talks. That's probably the most unwoke segment of maybe, I don't know. Could be the most unwoke segment of the morning, but we'll see because John's here.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Journalists say yesterday's session of the Donald Trump hush money trial was stupefyingly boring, but it may have been one of the most important days. Jeff McConney, who was the controller at the Trump Organization, testifying that he was ordered by his boss, the since-convicted CFO Alan Weisselberg, to reimburse Trump fixer Michael Cohen for the $130,000 payment to Stormy Daniels. Cohen got $420,000, which included a bonus. They say Trump directed the company to describe the payments as legal expenses from a retainer agreement, which everybody says did not exist. Now, these checks had to be sent down to the White House, paid from Trump's personal account. We see his signature on this. And all of this question is, what did Donald Trump know? Also, the judge fining Donald Trump another $1,000 for gag order violations, threatening jail. The media consensus, that won't happen. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
This is where Montana Talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, one thing I want to find here, Travis just located it for me. This was back on April 18th. We had this audio. I think I played it on the show. Let me see if I can pull it up here in just a second. And I'll pull it up in the next break here. But basically, it was undercover audio. You know, James O'Keefe, you know, he was basically the guy at Project Veritas, and now he's broken off and done his own kind of spinoff deal. It was Tyler Robinson undercover. Okay. Anyway, actually, let me play this real quick here. So this is undercover video. This ties in with, you know, the Secretary of Transportation being in Missoula. Why is it that all of a sudden, in the midst of all the disasters under his watch, oh, all of a sudden Pete Buttigieg can show up in Missoula, Montana? Oh, all of a sudden the National Director for the Small Business Administration was showing up? Oh, and you called this one out from day one. Attorney General Merrick Garland is doing a closed-door meeting with the tribes. All of a sudden, all these Biden officials want to come to Montana. Gee, I wonder why, John.
Wait, is there something happening here in November that might be of national importance to these people here in Montana? Is there something?
Well, I don't know. Let's go back to this undercover video here from O'Keefe Media.
Tyler describes Guzman as a spokesperson for Biden and as the most traveled member of the cabinet, as she uses her position to help get Democrats like Montana Senator John Tester reelected.
Administrator Guzman said basically are going to these critical battleground states to basically campaign for President Biden.
Anytime we go, we try to visit with a member of Congress if they're a Democrat.
Why do you need a member of Congress to go?
Just because then we can help them get reelected as well. So we're going to Montana because Senator Tester is the Democratic senator from Montana.
Okay.
Like, he's in the top re-election race. And that's like a seat we need in the Senate. So maintain number going. Like, if he loses.
If he loses Montana,
it's harder.
We're screwed.
Yeah, it's harder to win somewhere else. We all, like, as an office, we're going.
Okay.
The White House was like, yes, go. Invite Senator Tester. Don't invite the other senator because he's a Republican.
Yeah.
Don't invite the two members of Congress because they're Republicans.
So the White House authorized you guys to go campaign for this senator.
Yeah.
What kind of campaigns does the SBA run to help Biden?
I mean, we can't do anything like overtly political. Like, we can't send out like an email to small businesses like vote Joe Biden.
So, John, isn't that interesting? This guy works for the Biden Small Business Administration. We just had the National SBA Director in Montana. They just got exposed by O'Keefe Media for pointing out how they're blatantly sending these officials to Montana to try to provide cover for John Tester.
Well, and guess what? The reason he caveats that at the end, he's flat out saying we are there to campaign to get John Tester reelected. And you know what that is? That's a violation of the Hatch Act. Okay, they are not supposed to be doing that, but they're doing it all over the place, and they don't care. It is double barrel, middle finger. Do something about it.
Yeah, and one of our listeners actually shared that video with me via Instagram from O'Keefe Media. So blatantly obvious now why you're starting to see these officials. Although I question how much it will actually help John Tester, because, oh, Pete Buttigieg is in Missoula. Gee, great, great. You notice, but anyway, obviously they're trying to trot out some, they're trying to get people to forget about all the damage that the Biden administration is causing right now with inflation and gas prices and everything else. Let's go into the phone lines. We got Mike in Big Timber. Mike, thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Joker. If you want to hear a parody that I thought at first was the Joker himself, called up, and air the interview question with Biden's economic advisor. I forgot his name.
Oh, yeah.
At first, Aaron, I thought the Joker was on the program, but it actually was on, it was on Bongino's show being hosted by his producer.
Yeah.
And I thought your show ran long, and the Joker popped in and did a parody.
Well, you know, he's kind of a big deal. I mean, he will show up in all sorts of random places. I would not be surprised if Tim and Billings has been on Bongino's show, I think, a couple of times he's called in. So, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, but how did Fox News describe you, John, as a conservative influencer on that one story?
Fox News and Newsmax. I mean,
Wow.
Aaron, I have lots of mahogany books in my home, in my library. I'm kind of a big deal.
That's right.
Aaron, you can barely hear the Joker in the background. He comes up with his mic.
Well, you know, I've got him cranked up pretty high here. Let me go down here and turn another little button, because I was wondering. I've got him cranked all the way up here. Let's see.
Turn that to 11.
Whoa, there you go.
This goes to 11 right
now. Too hot. That was your opportunity to throw out of That's What She Said. Get your dad jokes in line here.
You should air that, Aaron. See if you can't call that up from Bongino's show yesterday and air that response that this man had, who is got an associate's degree in playing the bass fiddle and a PhD in some sort of social work degree.
Yeah, I forget this who this guy was. There was like some Biden economic advisor who couldn't explain basic stuff about the economy, something like that.
Yep. Oh, yeah. He has no clue. Has no clue whatsoever. Call it, you got to air it or listen to it and have Mr. Jackson respond to
that
it.
That was the guy.
I can imagine what he's going to do.
Yeah, who was it, John?
That was the guy come on and said, one of the first things he said was, the United States prints its own money, so we can't go bankrupt. Everybody's like, what?
That's hilarious. Yeah, I know I saw this story somewhere, and I was thinking about getting the audio, but... Man, we snag so much stuff every day. It's like, but of course, the one clip we don't snag, that's the one Mike wants. So that's why we take your phone calls. Let's see. I'll see if I can track it down during the break here, because I know I saw it somewhere, probably at foxnews.com, something like that. Bomb threats in Bozeman. I want to get John Jackson's take on this Jussie Smollett story.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. So, yeah, this was apparently Biden's chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, Jared Bernstein, fumbling through what should have been a simple explanation about why the government doesn't print more money. Travis, I'll send this one to you. If you want to snag, a quick 25, 30-second soundbite, the best part, feel free if you're able to do so. I know you're kind of busy there and keeping, you know, answering the phones and everything like that. But anyway, I just shot it over to Travis. We can only use a short version of it without getting permission from the source first there. But, so, John, I don't know if you saw this story here. There's a NBC Montana story here. Bozeman PD deems bomb threats as hoax linked to Pride events. You know, back when I was working in TV news, we typically wouldn't report on bomb threats because all you then do is encourage these people to call in more bomb threats. So it's most likely a hoax. And then when you make a big deal out of it, then ha ha ha, they want to do it some more. So then you just encourage more of that type of activity. But I saw this story. How many times have we seen the left vandalized their own office buildings and then claimed that somebody else did it so that they can get sympathy in the media, so that they can get sympathy from the public? Anyway, the left wing, the radical LGBTQ activists, here they were. Apparently, these bomb threats in Bozeman that took place while their LGBTQ pride events were going on. Apparently, the bomb threats were traced to somewhere in Nigeria, Africa. But there's the LGBTQ activists blaming Christians for calling in these bomb threats. And so I saw somebody commented on KBZK TV's Facebook page story about this, and basically was blaming Christians for these bomb threats. And I just responded by saying, Jussie Smollett approves of this message. Because how many times do we see them attack themselves, attack their own events, vandalize their own office buildings so that they can claim to be victims.
Every single time. You see it on Twitter. It's about once every couple of weeks. There'll be some, they try to make some big national story out of somebody out there saying, oh, they called me the N-word. They put a noose in my room. They wrote KKK on the side of my house. You see that all the time, and every single time it's a hoax. I haven't seen one time yet that it's been real. And you were talking about, you know, this call coming in from Nigeria. See, that's what today's technology has given these criminals, is the ability to hide behind, like, that's a VPN.
Yeah, that's what it could be, yeah.
They're routing that through a VPN so they can't get discovered.
So they could have called in a bomb threat themselves against their own event to get attention for their own events, to seek favor from the media, favor from the public, because that's what they've done time and time again. And then just use the VPN to route their call through Nigeria, and you know what I'm saying, to cover their own tracks. That's why I wish more of these types of things were actually fully investigated and they actually find out. Because, I mean, we've seen incidents where there were, you know, racist, white supremacist flyers that get posted somewhere, and then they find out who actually was posting them.
Yep.
And it, well, the Air Force Academy, remember? Oh, they're... All these kids that are attending the U.S. Air Force Academy are a bunch of racist bigots. They're posting anti-black hate comments in the, what was it, in the locker. Well, then they did an investigation. Oh, it was actually one of the black students who had posted that. So I'm like, wow, but you guys just trashed every kid that's attending the Air Force Academy. Good job.
Well, see, that's you hit it right there. See, the media and these left-wing groups, they operate absolutely on the Harry Reid principle, and that as long as they can get that big nasty headline out there for a couple of days, then, you know, a month from now when it comes out that it was a hoax, that's put in on page 16.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's talked about at all. And see, the Harry Reid principle is, hey, it worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's all they wanted.
That brings to mind, when General Flynn was here for his Flynn movie documentary, there was an interesting moment. The guy who was emceeing the movie documentary in the Q&A session, he said, hey, how many of you out there in the crowd were mad when General Flynn got sent to prison? And almost all the hands went up. And he's like, ha-ha, I got you. General Flynn never went to prison. In fact, but how many people, and that the whole case against General Flynn fell completely apart, right, for obvious reasons. But what the point the guy was making is that, but how many of you even, because again, like, all the charges, all the allegations get page one, top of the newscast, but then when the whole case is dismissed, on to other news.
I got a chance to watch that DVD, and a key little detail that we have been speculating on for years, I thought came out in that, is that, you remember during the Trump administration, every single member of his administration was trashed in the media every week. They just took them apart a piece at a time. But you know who you never, ever heard a bad story about was Reince Priebus. And we were always also wondering, who are the snitches inside of Donald Trump's administration who are always snitching him off? Well, there you go. That's what Michael Flynn talked about in his movie, was that who came to him as a representative of Mike Pence saying, you need to resign behind this little scandal here. It was Reince Priebus.
Well, and the other big takeaway from that movie is, I think when you see that inner circle in the White House, you know, Steve Bannon was there, General Flynn was there, Pence was there, these others, Priebus, I think, they were all in there. And I think what was happening in that room is they were thinking, okay, General Flynn, there's a target on your back. They're coming after you. And how Washington works is they now say, okay, you're a distraction. In order to protect the president and the White House, we're going to push you aside in order to minimize the distractions for the White House. But I think I agree with the crux of the Flynn movie documentary that was a key error, that they thought that by sacrificing Flynn, they could move forward. And no, instead what that happened is the enemies smelled blood in the water. Yep. And they started going after, and they launched a bunch of BS attacks against Ryan Zinke when he was Interior Secretary. And it was all phony, fake stuff. But again, they wanted to start picking off everybody in Trump's orbit, and then eventually going after Trump himself, of course.
Well, and you saw it. Who showed you how to play that stuff was Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, over his radio career, they came at that man over and over and over again with everything they had, and he just brushed it off like it was nothing and never even bothered him for a minute. So you know what? They just stopped trying toward the end of his career. They just gave up because they knew, we can't get this guy. He doesn't care what we say.
Don't bow down to these people. Don't cater to these people. Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've got... You know, here when John Jackson is with us, you know, not only do we take your phone calls all across Montana, 406-294-0970, but we also end up hearing from some of his great friends and followers via X, via Twitter, really from all over the country, sometimes all over the world. We've got Irene Almeida calling in from Portugal. Irene, great to hear from you.
Hi. I'm listening in to you guys talk, and I just figured I'd call in and give my a little bit of what I've been through with in Morocco, which I wasn't able to call in from there. So I figured I'd call in while I'm still in Portugal, but have some stuff on Morocco from 2 weeks ago, I guess. So getting into Morocco first was hard. It was they had six checkpoints, and there was a group of us that went, and so we had our own armed guard with us undercover, and so we passed and we went in through Morocco. And interestingly enough, they only want dollars and euros. They don't want their own currency. And we did go to what they consider the Hollywood Hills, which is the richest part of Tangiers. And Malcolm Forbes had a house there and all. And so that's where the famous 007 movies and the Casbah and all. And it was quite interesting, but very, very dirty. And the king is trying to put a spin because he's trying to encourage tourism. But the place still putting their best foot forward, let's say, in the areas where the king's palace is. Across the street, there will be an empty lot with burned-out cars and very, very trashy. They do, however, have, I think, the only place where Jews, Christians, and Muslims have lived in peace for hundreds of years. And you do see that. You do see that going around. And
I think our rabbi friend from Bozeman, Rabbi Chaim, I think he spent time in Morocco. Yeah, I mean, Christians, Jews, and Muslims actually can peacefully coexist, although the Biden administration sure is trying to fracture that apart every day, it seems. What was a big takeaway from an American kind of political perspective? Was there something that you saw in Morocco that was analogous to what we're seeing in Europe or the U.S.?
Well, you know, actually, the people were not very friendly. The business people, the westernized people were, obviously, because they're in business. But as far as the regular everyday people, you know, we were told, keep our head down, don't make eye contact, watch your wallets, watch your phones. It was a lot of harassment. So when you walked in the street, everyone's trying to sell you things.
Interesting. All right, we got to hold it there. Got to take a quick break. You know, John, as she's describing that situation in Morocco, I was like, well, that could be New York City or Denver.
That's like walking down the street in L.A. right there.
Missoula, you know, with the transients, if you're by the Pavarello Center. I mean, you know, there's a lot of different examples we could use.
But
there.
Luckily enough, Irene was able to jet back and get to the Met Gala last night in New York City. You know, so she got back in time for that.
Did she pick up a trash bag in Morocco to wear for a dress? Man, what a bunch of goofy outfits at the Met Gala last night.
Yeah.
It's like the Hunger Games. I mean, the goofballs with their goofball outfits, and they want the rest of us in the districts to suffer while they live high on the hog like John Tester.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hey guys, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to get to some more Montana-specific stories. A call for a special session of the legislature. Montana Speaker of the House Matt Regeer is going to join us from Kalispell coming up at the start of the 9 o'clock hour. So he'll join us for a few minutes, and then John Jackson will stick around to join us for the remainder of the hour as well. Plus, President Trump mocks Senator Tester's weight and hints at a Montana campaign appearance. So I'll tell you about that Washington Post story. We'll save that one for the 9 o'clock hour. Sneak into some of these bigger national topics for the next few minutes. But, hey, if you got something you want to talk about, give us a ring right now, 406-294-0970. Let's see. Who do we got next up on the phone lines? We got a Montana caller. Montana caller first. Let's go to Robert in Belgrade. Robert, what's going on?
Hey, I got a statement and then a question. First of all, illegal aliens, as soon as they get across the border, they get a ride down to the welcome center. They fill out the paperwork, so then they're documented. I think we should take some of them busloads of documented people. There's a really nice ranch I heard up in Big Sandy that the guy's owner is overworked, and he wouldn't even have to feed these guys because they have meal tickets. And some of them buses, they ought to take them up there to Big Sandy.
Yeah, Big Sandy. That's John Tester's drag name, right? Is that? that was.
And then another thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have something else to say. Another thing. How does a guy that has never been a part of something is in charge of tens of thousands of people? I'm talking about the Veterans Administration. Then he gets credit for building new buildings around the state. Nobody ever has told me how many new buildings he's built to take care of the veterans. I've heard, I know he's remodeled some, but how many is new ones that he's getting credit for that he built that were not there before?
Well, and frankly, okay, we can build more buildings for the VA, but if you don't have doctors or psychologists or nurses to staff those buildings, what's the point of spending a bunch of taxpayer dollars to build new buildings? Why not simply allow those veterans to go to the hospital that's already located in their town, instead of having to drive several hours across the state to go get VA health care, right? Robert, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. Yeah, John, first off, any thoughts on that before I play this soundbite from Jared Bernstein here?
That type of thing, when I hear any politicians talking about coming to a state saying, look at all this, the federal installations and the federal money that we put into ABCD and EC, what my conservative ear hears is that you just took my tax money and spend it over here on probably 99% chance is some ridiculous boondoggle that didn't need to happen, and now my taxes are going to get raised because of this. I don't want to hear about how you're spending federal money. When I hear that, I'm just like, that doesn't impress me at all.
And also, it's like, the transportation secretary being in Missoula yesterday. I got this much money for the airport. Yeah, well, how much more did you give to these other countries? How much money did you give to drag queen story hours in Ecuador? How much did you give, to the war that you guys are in partly responsible for all over the world right now because of your weak foreign policy? But, John, all they have to do is print more money, right? That's what Jared Bernstein is saying here. So this is Biden's chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors. Apparently, he's one of those modern monetary theory guys. But I think now Mike in Big Timber, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is the audio that Mike was referring to here. I can only play like a short piece of it, but where he basically says, oh, yeah, we'll just print more money and then we'll borrow more. It's no big deal. The rest of his response, he doesn't even give a response. He just ums and ahs for about 60 seconds because he does not know how to answer her question about why the government borrows from ourselves so much.
Some of the language and concepts are just confusing. I mean, the government definitely prints money and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? They sell bonds. Yeah, they sell bonds.
They, right? This goes on for like another 30 seconds.
Is that what they do?
I don't know.
Well, they.
Is that what they? One of the economic advisors to Biden is absolutely clueless. Has no idea what he's talking about. We can't go bankrupt. We print our own money. I mean, can you slap your forehead any harder with that response, Aaron?
Yeah, it's just crazy. $35 trillion in debt. We were $6 trillion in debt when John Tester first ran for the United States Senate. He's racked up that much debt since that time. Let's see. Let's go next on the phone lines. You know, when John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, mentions his podcast, he does a podcast on Rumble, Behind Enemy Lines, with the Mighty Human Z. And the Mighty Human Z is now with us. Z, what's going on?
Great Lakes greetings, gentlemen. Hey, there's good news, good news, good news. The White House is, they sadly have layoffs. Teleprompter operators and also the sign language people, they don't need as many of them because officially they're shortening the length of Brandon's press conferences and his speeches down to like 2 seconds, I hear, because the guy mumbles so much. And, you know, all that insurance for carpal tunnel and the corrections that the American Sign Language people have to do as they're stumbling through his speeches, he's stuttering as no more. So that's great. So that's money back in the pocket. I just wanted to share that with everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. The Mighty Human Z. Good to hear from you. Andy and Whitefish, on a related note, Andy and Whitefish sent us a message on the Montana Talks app a few minutes ago. Did you guys see Joe take a dump in front of everybody? what is he referring to, John Jackson?
Well, first of all, he's now, the news comes out last week that as he walks to and from the helicopter now, he has to have a group of aides all around him to disguise his old man stagger as he goes back and forth. And see, we've been saying for a long time, I've been saying it, that the man is obviously wearing a back brace and probably knee braces as well. And what you saw him do the other day in that clip where he looks like he's taking a dump, he looks like your toddler that just dumped in his diaper, is he walks out and he hears a question and he stops, and you can see that knee brace kick in on that one leg, and the one knee goes kind of bent, just like a toddler would be taking a dump in their diaper. I mean, and the look on his face, the look of clueless concentration, like,
deep thoughts. You know, yeah. Deep thoughts. Yeah, I saw that video because somebody had commented on X or somewhere. They said anybody who's got a toddler knows what that stance means, and it's the most awkward. Like he just stops there. It's like, oh my goodness,
that was a knee brace stopping him from actually.
So that was a knee brace,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not adult diaper. That was a knee brace.
You just don't know because he did drop one with the Pope in front of the Pope
that
over there.
Was just
Rome
a rumor,
that time,
John.
So,
that was just
know,
a rumor.
Secret Service had a full code brown on that deal. You know, they had to come in.
The most unwoke hour of the week continues with Montana Talks. Phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. Frank in Evergreen, what's your random thought this week? Good to hear from you.
Hi, Aaron. Last Friday, there was it was called a Vigilante Day 100 years parade down in Helena in the, through the Gulch area. It's that started in 1924, apparently, the first one. But I remember when I was in the seventh grade in 1964, it was in April, they had the 100th celebration of the Northwest Centennial of the territory of Montana, which started in 1864. And for that parade and that celebration, there was wooden nickels, etc. You go down the bank and buy these wooden nickels and get some good deals, like 5 cent beer, etc. But they had rules such as you had to grow a beard and a mustache, women too, and there was a $10 fine. Anybody that didn't have their beard would have to go to jail or to serve out the $10 if they didn't want to pay the $10 fine. And,
an interesting event celebrating Montana history. Huh? Yeah, I saw there were some great photographs from the Territorial Days event in Helena. I saw some of the liberal commentators on Twitter were saying how awful the vigilante era was, you know, and everything like that. I just wonder, do they even know Montana history before they spout off on Twitter sometimes?
What went on back then was it was a completely open and lawless land. And so the only way that got civilized was through, you know, some pretty drastic action on the part of not only law enforcement, but the people themselves.
Yeah, Ken Robison is a Montana historian out of Great Falls. Ken Robison's written some great books about that period of Montana history and more. Okay, it looks like we got a caller from Whitefish on the phone lines coming up right after this, 406-294-0970. Or you can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, at PVTJokerUS on X, x.com.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
They even give a shout out to the New York Times and their editor slamming the Biden White House for whining about the press. They want to be covered by Pravda. He can't keep up the rigors of running for president. You know, it's one of the reasons Joe Biden, he's no longer can go up the big boy stairs on Air Force One. So they put him on the little boy stairs with Secret Service agents following him up the stairs in case he falls flat on his face on the little boy stairs. That's why now they won't let him walk to Marine One, because he looks so old and frail and looks like he's about to fall over. I mean, it's pretty unbelievable. But you're going to tell us, oh, quality over quantity? So he's going to give short speeches. I just want to say, vote for me. Bye. See you later.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Joe Biden wants you taxed to the brink, under the thumb of the IRS, and controlled with a digital dollar. That's why thousands of hardworking, patriotic Americans are opting out by diversifying their savings with precious metals like gold and silver. And guess what? Sean Hannity is doing the same. He's been purchasing precious metals like gold and silver from the top-rated company, Goldco. Goldco is a 7-time Inc. 5000 winner, number one rated gold IRA company with over 5,000 five-star reviews. And they've placed over $2 billion in precious metal sales for people just like you. Right now, they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. That's right, up to $10,000 in bonus silver, but only while supplies last. So if you're looking to diversify your savings, call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
I don't have the tens of millions of dollars it takes to produce 30-second political commercials that increasingly flood the airwaves and social media feeds like others do. And that's a pity, because there's really nothing to balance the flood of illogic and disinformation that those short video snippets pound into our brains every election cycle. These spots too often take us backwards in our understanding of economic issues. They contribute to the dysfunction we see in our political system as much as anything else. It's hard really to know where to begin. The idea that we must protect Montana from those arriving from out of state. Really? Almost half of our state's population was born in another state or country. Or that buying an expensive house saddles others with higher property taxes. Or that fighting on issues like immigration is a sufficient substitute for actually doing something to improve the outcomes. Or that saving programs like Social Security requires doing nothing to head off their imminent demise.
Details, MVDExpress.com.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spas, the hot tub company that your friends recommend, Studio. This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, just a quick few minutes left of this hour of the show. John, we still got to talk Israel as well. I know you want to share some information you're getting on that front. Let's go to Uncle Guido in Whitefish first on the phone lines. What's going on?
Okay, just real quick here. Every patriot should read the book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. It explains how the pulse of a Federal Reserve was created and the illusion of money. And just ask yourself, if the government prints our money, who are we paying the interest on that money to? It's a scam. It's a Ponzi scheme. And everybody read that book. It'll explain it all to you.
Well, look at the turnaround. Thanks. Yeah, thanks for the call. Look at the turnaround Argentina's already now starting to see because of Javier Milei, the new president there that started cutting all these government departments and spending, and he's already taken a whack at the inflation down there. All right, John, when it comes to Israel, Ben Shapiro had a great post on X. Israel, here are the terms of our proposed ceasefire. Hamas, no, we'll fire rockets at your soldiers at a humanitarian aid entry. Israel, okay, we're going into Rafah. Hamas, we accept a ceasefire we negotiated with ourselves. The media, Hamas accepts ceasefire. They want peace. A great summary there, huh?
That's pretty much kind of exactly what happened yesterday. What we've been saying on your show for a long, long time, ever since Biden came in, is watching these people try to conduct foreign policy is like watching a toddler play with daddy's gun. Well, yesterday what you saw was the toddler shoot himself in the foot and ricochet and hit all of us. Because how this went down yesterday was Biden's CIA spooks sit down at the table with Egypt and Qatar and Hamas, not with Israel. They cut Israel out of this deal. They come up with some peace ceasefire deal that it totally gives away the store to Hamas, including 33 hostages dead or alive.
Wow.
Meaning they don't even have 33 live hostages left. They've killed them. Okay,
wow.
They're dead. Then they take all their social media people all over the worldwide media, blast it out there that we have a deal, and Israel's like, hold up on that car wash, gentlemen.
Yeah.
They take a look at it, and they're like, no, we don't. And see, that right there broke any and all trust that anyone in the Israeli government had with Biden and his people, because even the people that are on the left of, say, Netanyahu, that caused them all to come in right behind Netanyahu, and within hours, they went into Rafah.
Biden is so desperate to get a ceasefire because of the elections and his radical base that he will throw Israel completely under the bus and give the entire bus to these Hamas terrorists is what it sounds like. Julie in the Flathead, about a minute to go. What did you want to share? Thanks for the call.
I just think it's important for people to know facts. There's a website called Hope for Israel, and they have reported, amongst other websites and other Jerusalem Post and other resources, where in one day, at that day in October, one day over 14,000 people were murdered, captured, or injured in one day. And still, there's over 100 people still held in captivity. And it's been hundreds of days, and still there are people over there that are captured by Hamas. The point is if it be, imagine here in the U.S. if we had something, our population is quite a bit more, but imagine in one blow it was like 50,000 people were murdered, captured, and then,
On a per capita basis, that's how it would break down when you look at the size of Israel compared to their population. No, exactly right. Julie, thanks for the call. Sorry we ran out of time. Big 9